Welcome to the Briefing Room, a Healthcare Communications Association initiative brought to you by the Foresight Committee. I'm Jo Spadaccino, co-founder of STIRD, and I'm co-leading the Briefing Room series with Norbert Brunhuber, Director of Cystic Fibrosis Scientific Communications and Strategy at Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and my colleague on the Foresight Committee. The HCA Foresight Committee explores topics that have relevance not only for today, but also help us as a profession prepare for tomorrow. In our briefing room, we're talking to prominent senior business leaders at the forefront of change in a wide variety of roles in the pharmaceutical sector. To help us build a timely picture of what the future key areas of focus are and what the future asks will be for us, specifically as healthcare communicators. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Audrey Lichty from Sobi. So, Audrey, can I ask you to please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your role?
Thanks, Jo. And thanks to the HCA as well for having me. So I'm head of portfolio and commercial excellence at Sobi. I look after the Central Eastern European Russia Japan region, and I've been there since well, I guess 9 months now. And I've worked in the industry for a while in different roles. So yeah, very happy to be here.
Brilliant. Thank you, Audrey. So, yeah, new girl, but not quite new girl. Really look forward to hearing more about your experience and what you're thinking about looking forward as well. So, let's get stuck into the questions. I'm going to run through a number of different questions. We're going to focus a little bit on the pharma sector overall, what you're seeing, what you believe kind of some of the future trends might be. I want to talk to you specifically about your role and kind of what the priorities for you are within your role. And then really keen to delve into your views on healthcare communication specifically as a discipline, and what might lay in store for practitioners in the area. So really looking forward to the conversation. Okay, so I'm going to start with a really big picture question. Lots has been going on in society more widely, and the pharma sector is no stranger to change at all. So as we sit here today, what do you feel are some of the top influential trends impacting pharma and life sciences organizations right now?
So I feel like I'm going to sound really stereotypical because probably the things I have that come to mind right now are things that others would think about as well. But that's just, I guess, my view. So let's jump into it. From my point of view, since the pandemic, you can't not talk about digital. Maybe I should say omnichannel, multi-channel, but I'll just say digital for now. I think the pharma industry has had the biggest shift ever since the pandemic in essentially having to go digital. And the pandemic was probably one of the biggest instigator for us. So I think this is something that hasn't left us, will stay with us, and it's about how we can continuously adopt essentially more modern ways of communicating, more real ways of communicating, and really being at kind of the center point of where our audiences are as well, which happens to be online, like all of us are. Secondly, I would say patient voice. And again, this is something that's very close to my heart, but I think also to, the hearts of many that work in the industry. And it's a trend, but it's not really a trend that's been kind of, it's a trend that's been in the industry for a while. And what I would say is maybe a better use of or descriptor of the trend is empathy with patients and listening to patients' needs. And I think this is just embedding much wider in the industry than it was maybe when it started to become a trend maybe about, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago. And then the third thing I think is the challenges that we have in getting patient access. So I think finding, innovative models of access for our treatments is, another trend that is probably I hear about every week. So yeah, I think those three things.
They're definitely sound very familiar, and the way that we're responding to them has definitely changed over the years. And yeah, I agree that the pandemic has been, a bit of a game changer in a number of those areas, actually. I often reflect that I think, that kind of patient voice and empathy, it perhaps was triggered when we all, were impacted by what was going on with COVID, if nothing else. keen to understand and mindful that you're fairly new in role at Sobi, but can you give some examples of maybe how your organization is responding to some of those trends?
Yeah, and I think every organization is, no organization can ignore any of these topics. I think all these topics, I guess the other thing is also they probably apply to most, if not all, pharmaceutical companies, or pharmaceutical players, really, because it's not just the pharma companies that produce medicines, it's also everyone who works with them to kind of get access to treatments for patients. I mean, look, I think there's lots of things that are being established. Firstly, I think in terms of the patient access challenges, I think this is something that our company is trying to look at it in terms of, what are the models, the analogs that exist with that we can use from sometimes other existing companies, or not even, kind of going outside of the pharma sector as well, thinking about like what are some models that we can utilize. But trying to be really pragmatic as well. So I can't think of like a specific thing that I've seen being established towards that. It's just more trying to really think outside of the box, to be honest. And that kind of goes across the board. So you can see more and more that access as a function is being established at all levels of the organization, and is kind of a really crucial function, if not the crucial function. In the company. So that's definitely one thing that I see. Patient voice, this is something that I think more and more companies, again, are establishing. I mean, I guess I'm talking a lot here about like the organizational setup, but essentially that's kind of how we ensure that these topics get addressed or these trends get addressed. In terms of the patient voice, at Sobi, we deal in sometimes very rare or even orphan diseases. So it's really going beyond just, trying to do some kind of disease awareness, but really thinking about what are the very specific needs that can be addressed that haven't been addressed yet with some treatments, and then trying to work with not just the typical stakeholders, but also kind of going beyond like carers and patients, families that maybe have to be engaged with, and then to kind of raise the agenda also at the kind of policy level. So again, I think this is something that I see lots of companies do, especially in the rare field, and it's really crucial because otherwise you just can't really see change. And then I think digital, look, again, quite similar answer. I think we're seeing more and more initiatives being established. We have a digital marketing function in the company as well. Typically, Sobi has been, because focus on rare disease often means that maybe there's less requirement for kind of an omnichannel approach, but it's more a very focused approach with a small amount of stakeholders that maybe there's been less digital activities done in the company. And again, we see this changing because again, it's something that no one can really hide from or not look into. So I see a lot of work happening in the company and probably in all three areas actually.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. I was definitely going to kind of ask you, and I know your experience has been quite broad and you've worked in lots of different companies, but there are definite influences, I suppose, that working in a rare community, means that you might think about some of these things in a slightly different way. But it's interesting what you say there around, particularly around digital, that actually, even when you're dealing with a really, really niche, tiny population, sometimes, utilizing those channels is still part of the mix. So yeah, that's really interesting. Thinking about your role specifically, and maybe you can just elaborate a little bit on kind of how your role fits in, to the organization. But what are you spending most time planning for in your role? What are the big ticket items that, just come up every single time?
I spend a lot of time in my role planning, but it's mostly, so my role right now, I used to, when I started in the industry, used to work in communications and patient advocacy, actually at a comms agency as well. And so that was, I would say all of those topics were very close to what I was doing. Now, obviously, in my role, I'm in commercial now, so I've gone on to the dark side. It's something that happened a couple years ago now already, and so obviously stay, very compliantly in kind of my role, probably a bit further away to the patient voice than what I'd like it to be. But as much as possible, I think the planning that we do is often about like trying to understand trends, trying to understand what are the specific patient populations that we address dealing with, and what are their pain points, their needs, but also the different stakeholders really along the patient pathway. What are their needs, perceptions, topics that they deal with and that we have to address in our plans. So this is probably one of the things that we do the most. But beyond that, of course, my role is very much like a, forecasting what is going to be the share of patients, the share of the markets that we can gain in a specific space. So it's very much like planning, what is our business going to look like in the next year? And I've actually just spent most of the summer doing that. So this is probably the time I spend most in terms of trying to understand what is realistic based on the parameters set by the market, based on competition, based on the patient groups that we are addressing. What is realistic for us to do in the coming year? And then based on that, put our plans, our strategies together. So it's really working very closely with lots of different people in the company to kind of get it right. I think forecasting is always one of those things that I think is very interesting. It's very time consuming, but you have to do it as a business. You can't live without it. And so it's almost like, and we see some people who've been in the company for a long time and they have like great plans, very well forecasted. Others, widely either above or below what the plan was. So this is, it's something we do a lot. So I would say the more kind of boring business planning right now, unfortunately, but that is always based on very deep insights of the market.
I don't know why the phrase like planning for planning comes into mind. It's just always planning, basically.
I literally planned the software to do the planning together with the finance team. So, did the planning for
If you had a magic wand, which of your greatest challenges would you solve from your perspective right now?
I think, obviously all of us, I think, in the industry share one thing, and that is wanting to help patients. And all of us have had situations in the family, probably, or friends, where you've kind of seen that maybe someone didn't get access or could have gotten access and maybe would have helped them in a way or another. And this, to me, is still the one that if we could only find a way to get faster access to medicines, especially for those with rare, rapidly progressing, aggressive diseases. Of course, chronic diseases are important as well, but I just see a need in those populations, like rare, rapidly progressing, that maybe there is less around for them. So I think there, if we can find a way to, with a magic wand, address those maybe payer needs that are very true as well, that we need to solve with some of the maybe more innovative payment models that we have. Now, this is where it gets really complex because it's not a solution that just one company can bring. It's a multi-company, it's a systemic thing really. So I think it's something that I think if I had a magic wand, I would like to just use that for that purpose, so that we can get faster access to patients where it really matters as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would share on that as well. One final question on kind of the big picture side of things. What's exciting you most about the industry, as you look to the future?
Oh, it's such an exciting industry to work in. I think there is a lot of great science that is being discovered every day. I personally wish I had done more of a scientific background. If I could go back and study again, I mean, I guess I could, then that would to delve more into the science, because that is where the beauty really happens. And then I think what we do in our roles is trying to translate that into messages and activities that are easily understood, which is where I think I can come in, because I don't have this, detailed background. I'm very simple in my thinking. So it's like, how can we make things more simple to address essentially those who treat patients who deal with patients, or even internally. A lot of what I do as well is communicating internally. So how can we make things easily explained that will essentially enable us to do what we want to do, either get budget for this initiative or be able to launch in this country. Just that really excites me. So being able to take this great work that's been done in the labs, in the hospitals, with patients as well, because let's not forget, I mean, clinical trials, I mean, this is probably another area, if I think about the magic wand, where I would love to make things simpler for patients and more patient-friendly, user-friendly, patient-friendly. So anyways, taking all of that, I think I find really, really exciting, and there's a great amount of work happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's inspiring, but also, like you say, actually, there's a clear role for people who kind of have the job of translating some of that and making it applied, whether it's from an access perspective or just a kind of stakeholder engagement perspective. So yeah, takes a village, I always say, to kind of get a result. Brilliant. Thank you. Right, I'm going to shift gears slightly and think specifically about communications as a function, as a discipline. It's brilliant to hear that you have a foot and a career history in the space as well. So looking for some good insights here. But what does this is a an interesting question that different people respond to differently, but what does great healthcare communications look like to you, if you had to describe it?
It's not an easy question, that's for
It's
sure,
not.
to answer. It's also, I find what I find is, like, there's usually no one size fits all, right? So also saying, like, one kind of one size fits all great communications is difficult to say. But if I think about some characteristics of things that I personally, my point of view, of course, find great, is when you manage to, again, it's usually about simplicity. So this usually for me is great communications is usually really simple, and has some kind of emotive, or kind of touches people in a way that actually makes you want to do something about it. So is emotive or emotional, but then also encourages the behavior. Hopefully a positive behavior. So for me, it's simple. It has some kind of emotional connection, and then it has this, like, behavioral, what's the word? It's the call to action. That's it. I think that's what great communications look like.
When it comes to thinking about the function of healthcare communications, and that even that definition actually encompasses quite a lot and might mean different things to different people. But in I guess in your experience and in the way that you define it, what meaningful difference do you think that healthcare communicators can make and as a function to what we're trying to do in pharma?
So I actually did, firstly, I think communications is one of the most undervalued and underrated skill and function, because it is, if I look at the work that I do every day, so much of it is communication. It's either about, like, interpersonal communication, it's about, like, if all these presentations that we put together for internal, external purposes, that's all communications. And what I find often defines great, colleagues, and people who are able to push forward ideas in a company, the thing that often differentiates them from one another is, are they able to communicate well what they intend to do, and what they're planning on, what they're project managing, are how well can they communicate that? So to me, this is where actually it makes all the difference, essentially. So obviously, I'm very biased. This is kind of my own term as well. But yeah, I think this is it. So essentially, it's like, how can you help internally to make ideas come to life in a way that they can be, accepted, adopted, and, where you kind of get the stamp of approval, yes, you can go ahead with that activity, or externally as well. And my master thesis was on the topic of reputation management. So again, this is where communications has all to do with essentially managing reputation of a brand, of a company, of an individual. And I looked into a lot of data that essentially has now, I think, confirmed the link between reputation and a brand's value, or a company's value, like shareholder value. So, you know, I kind of see the link, you know, communication in a way, it's about ideas, being able to communicate those, get approval for them, essentially do what you want to do. It's also about reputation. So I think if you can manage to through kind of great communications, improve the reputation of a brand, a company, a person, that essentially is money at the end of the day as well, if that's what people are measuring, which typically it is at the end of the day. So
It's the age-old kind of challenge of kind of explaining something quite intangible, isn't it? And something that could mean so much strategically, but quite often gets boiled down to, you know, a tactical execution. And so it's a challenging one, but that's great to hear that explanation. I had a question about kind of working with communications agency partners. As you'll be aware, the Healthcare Communications Association is a member organization that represents in-house as well as agency side kind of teams and companies. And so, you know, for the agency colleagues out there listening, what do you as an in-house marketeer need from your comms agency partners to make the most of some of the things that we've already talked about? In terms of future trends for the sector.
I think I've always, you know, I've always valued and think that communication agencies or teams, individuals in communication agencies can bring a lot of value because they're a kind of almost like an extended arm to the in-house team. They can also be a great like sparring partner or someone to also hold a mirror, you know, against you and say actually, you know, just this is how we're understanding it, this is how we're understanding your challenge, or this is and sometimes that in itself is so useful to have because you're so in your own company and thinking, and you've got this like group think in the company even though you don't want to, but it just happens, I think. So having someone slightly external but that still has a foot in the company is can be really useful in that way. Also to share ideas that maybe you don't get access to, because obviously you guys work with on multiple ideas. I'm always amazed by the amount of work that people in agencies have on their books. I remember from my time as well, that was one of the things that I was really afraid moving into in-house, actually thinking, will I be bored? But I'm not, and you know, there's different things that come up. So back to your question, sorry. I think it's about being a proactive, you know, member of essentially seeing themselves as well as a proactive member of the team. I always find it great if people come proactively with ideas to me or hear something in the markets that could be really useful. So proactivity, obviously, honesty and transparency. I think that kind of goes both ways. I've always tried to be quite transparent and open with people I've worked with. Hopefully they would say the same thing about me, but that goes vice versa as well. So to kind of, you know, if it's both positive feedback or also improvement areas, just to share those, because that's kind of how you also work internally. So why wouldn't you share that with your really important marketing or communications agency? So that's I think is quite important. But yeah, just kind of staying on the pulse of things, having an eye, an interest as well. So I always find if I can work with someone who clearly is interested in what I'm doing, then I will feel this, and I will feel so much more inclined to working with this person more and more, or with that team. So it's interest, it's being proactive, and being transparent and honest as well.
Perfect. Thank you. Some good tips there. More broadly, and back to the, I guess, the healthcare comms discipline as a whole, and particularly, I guess, in reflection of some of the comments you made there around, you know, comms actually being one of the most undervalued functions within an organization. I don't know that that's particular to the pharma sector, actually. I think that's, you know, that's quite often an observation levied more broadly. But having walked in those shoes before and now in a different role, you know, what do you have any tips or what do you think healthcare communicators need to work harder on?
Yeah, I think I mean, firstly, I think healthcare communicators are doing a great job, and I think there's lots of great work happening. So, you know, I would say the standard is really high, and I'm always amazed by the work I see, again, having been in those shoes to a certain extent, I'm often really amazed by what I'm seeing and the standard of work that is being produced as well by both in-house and agency colleagues, I would say. So, but in terms of, yeah, I guess one thing is that, there is it's quite important, I think, for especially, I guess, from an agency point of view, it's quite difficult to get a sense for the different priorities that the business has. So I think really clarifying this up front, and I think it's always great to have ideas coming from different directions, but almost like clarifying with the client what are their priorities, because then you can kind of tailor much more the offerings, the suggestions you make. And I think this is really something that I sometimes, still think it is quite difficult though, but to continuously try and get a really good handle for essentially almost like walking in the shoes of the client, if you're an agency person or also a communicator in-house, really, I think it's actually really useful if you can spend a certain amount of time doing that job, or at least, or maybe shadowing someone, or I don't know, maybe having a really in-depth conversation with that person or with someone kind of in that field. And maybe you find this person through a mentoring network or through a group of friends, and just like have, ask them a few deep dive questions to really get a sense for like what is actually driving them in their everyday, and understanding the challenges. Because, I think that's also where sometimes some of the, you could be upset if your client isn't prioritizing your work, but actually that client probably has a million things going on, and so it's never a not wanting to be more present for this particular perhaps agency colleague. It's typically just massive overload of things to do. That's just how it is in house, I think, these days. So yeah, a bit of empathy as well, which I'm not saying colleagues and agencies don't have, don't get me wrong. So yeah, I think those are just a few things, but in general, I think I can see some great work being done. And I think it's so, I think you can't put people in a box either, because healthcare communicators as a group, right? That's a very heterogeneous group too. And then that's what's wonderful about this group, I would say, of individuals, of professionals. They often come from very different backgrounds, even just what people study in this area. It's not just communications, it's many different things. And that makes it a really, really rich and valuable group of colleagues to have around. So I personally, obviously, again, very biased, but big fan of the work that people in communications do.
Yeah, I really like that tip, actually, of I mean, it's what we encourage everyone to do, isn't it? But asking those deep dive questions, but actually finding ways to connect outside of perhaps a direct client or colleague relationship. And I really like your idea of, just finding mentor networks or, informal opportunities just to chew the fat a little bit and really understand, with no influence and no bias potentially, what it's really like. I always remember, yeah, I think in my first comms role, I spent 2 days out with a field rep because I'd never, done a sales role. And it was eye-opening. I spent a lot of time in supermarket canteens, I seem to remember, buying sandwiches. But I had no perception of what it was like before I did it. And it really did change, yeah, change my approach, I suppose. And it's what we should all do all of the time with all of our stakeholders, isn't it? But yeah, some really good tips there. And as we've kind of looked to the future, and we've kind of horizon scanned as to what some of those trends are, how do you see the skill mix of communicators needing to shift? Or, indeed, maybe they're already starting to shift and you're starting to see that. But any particular skills you think we need to develop further?
I think it's hugely different, because the definition of a healthcare communicator or someone working in that field is actually very diverse. And I myself, when I'm looking for agencies to work with, I kind of, you kind of do your desk research and try to understand what sets this agency apart from another one. And actually, it all sounds like everyone does everything, and there's like, but actually it can be quite different, like what someone specializes in. And there are loads of different kind of sub-specialisms nowadays, right? So I think it's quite broad, it's quite quite diverse and it's quite difficult to kind of pinpoint. But I would say, there's definitely something about being having, like a broad skill set, like rather broad than too specialized, I would say. Now that's just because I think because you have a lot of different influences coming in, different asks as well, I think you want to be set out as broadly as you can. But then if I think about like specific capabilities, clearly digital is key. And so that's kind of not something you can really go without with anymore. So I don't think that's a trend for the industry or the profession, but kind of continuously understanding what are the in pharma especially like the compliance rules around it. So with educating yourself around compliance in digital, social media, etc. That's key, and that's going to only become more important, I think. I think otherwise, having a, I guess, an interest in, I think rare disease in itself, I can see obviously is an area that is developing. There's loads of new assets coming through, specifically addressing more of the more rare populations. So I think again, that's something that's could be quite an interesting one to develop into. And again, there's always going to be like different companies that will be addressing different areas. So you can't like say that's the only thing that's needed, but in itself, understanding the needs in that area, I think are quite it's quite key. And then I guess what I see as well is that the more people have or agencies have like different capabilities is great, but you kind of still want to be able to differentiate yourself with like, what are kind of the top things you because I always ask myself, oh, who's the kind of the expert in that? So it's almost like I'm kind of saying two separate things here, and I'm aware of that, but it's like having a broad skill set, having done a lot of different things, but still having some expertise in a couple of things and being able to pinpoint as well, also from a professional development point of view, like what are the things that you really love doing and you're really good at? Because I think this is one of the things that is going to become, it's just really important for anyone's development. So yeah, so being kind of as a as an individual, probably also as a company, clear on like what are the things that you really excel at and that you want to excel at and that really interests you. So it's kind of a bit schizophrenic, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is really interesting, and it's an age-old dilemma for individuals, isn't it, in any walk of life, in terms of how they develop their career. Do they when do they round out versus when do they focus down and specialize, and it works at an organizational team level as much as it does at that individual level. I don't know if you've heard of the concept of like T-shaped people, but yeah, we talk quite often about that, which is the blend of both of those things, being able to play quite broadly, but always knowing what your real passions or real kind of areas of expertise are, and wearing those with pride, makes it really easy for people to understand what they're going to get from you, I suppose. Fabulous, thank you. I'm one eye on the clock, so I feel like we could probably draw the interview to a close there, because I think we've got loads of really good stuff. I guess final question for you, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you wish I would, or anything else that you want to kind of say as a final comment on the future trends for health comms in the pharma sector?
I guess, well, I think we've broached a lot of topics there. I think one of the sectors that, I mean, we spoke about in the beginning with like the trends, I think anything that has to do with patients. So typically, I think in-house, at least, communicators tend to do a lot of work with patient groups. They also tend to maybe be responsible for patient advocacy, communication and outreach. So I think that's an area that I would definitely not underestimate and also spend a fair bit of time with. I would say as an agency, I think you cannot spend enough time with patient groups and with patients and also trying to understand what are their needs and challenges and trying to kind of bring that into the work that you do for pharma because that's so valuable. Equally also with KOLs, with HCPs. So I think it's like trying to really capture like the broad spectrum of needs. So I think it's great to have an understanding for what kind of pharma companies need, but actually what we should all be doing in this industry is much more of the what do our end stakeholders need and what are their wishes, and also maybe how can an agency perhaps help them with what they want as well, because I'm sure there's loads there that is not being tapped into. And so I think that is an important one for me, and how to continuously bring in that voice at all levels. So yeah, just I guess we mentioned it in the beginning, but just wanted to close on that.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you closed on that, because it's such a kind of important, responsible role. And I think sometimes communicators almost take their insights and connections with stakeholders for granted because they're doing it all the time. And I think what I see is that there's a really clear role and responsibility for communicators to bring all that back into the organization with people who, might not necessarily be working with patients or public or healthcare professionals on a day-to-day basis. So it's a role we shouldn't take lightly, and yeah, definitely
It's a
embrace.
privilege, I think, to be able
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
voice. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Lovely way to finish. Thank you so much for your time, Audrey. That's been really, really insightful, and I know the membership will get a lot from that. So thank you very much, and have a good day.
Thank you, and thanks for the HCA.
Bye bye.